you, Pastor Steve, and good morning, everybody. I hope you're as happy as I am this morning. I am excited about all that's going on. Looking forward to the Hoppers next Sunday. Looking forward to an hour of prayer here in the sanctuary tonight. I'm going to cut a deal with you. I'm going to shorten my sermon this morning. Just as an offer to all of you to join me back here tonight for an hour of prayer. Looking forward to soaking in presence this evening. Something is going to take place in our church we've needed for a while. So I'm going to be brief this morning, and we'll hope to see all of you. In fact, I'm challenging some of you who've not been all year. Tonight may be your night. Come on, I don't think prayer is going to hurt anybody. I don't think it's going to make anybody sick. And I am excited about our prayer service this evening. It is a time to reset. It is a time to reconnect. And it's a time to get back something you've lost. This past year has taken a toll on us, and this is a call to prayer for our entire church. Jesus said it like this: "My house shall be called a house of prayer." So this evening, God's house is a prayer house, and I look forward to seeing all of you tonight. I will be brief this morning, but I do want to cover some bases before we pray. Sometimes prayer is something we leave as a last resort. And when the pain gets strong enough, we thankfully know where to go and what name to call on. But prayer is so much more than that. And we should talk about some things this morning. This is an in-season word when we're looking at an all-church prayer service this evening. Let's cover some bases before we pray. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place." All of us should have a certain place. Now, we can pray anywhere, anytime, but there is a place that can be dignified and sanctified, and we should find a certain place that works for each of us. That's what Jesus did. He was praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Lord, teach us to pray. Now, Jesus modeled a lifestyle of prayer. It's amazing to me how many times in the Gospels you will find the record that Jesus separated himself from the crowds and even his own close disciples. And sometimes they would wake up and miss him and wonder where he is, and they would be alarmed and go on a hunt to find him, and they would find him in a solitary place or a deserted place, a place where he called a certain place, and they found him in prayer. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, it happened there. "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." Jesus modeled the lifestyle of prayer for us to follow. And again, that happened in Mark chapter 6. And it's interesting when you think about it, the significance of prayer, the purpose of prayer, the power of prayer. I like to look at it like this. Imagine being one of his disciples, or even just one in the crowd of thousands that followed him everywhere he went. And they saw, his disciples saw him touch eyes that were blind and heal the blinded eyes. the disciples saw him lay his hands on sick people and heal them. The disciples saw him take a little sack lunch, just enough for a boy for a day, and bless it and break it and multiply it. He took that which was insufficient, and it became a surplus over and above and beyond what everybody needed all day long. The disciples saw him do that, and the disciples even saw Jesus speak to dead people and raise them back to life. But the disciples never asked him, "Lord, teach us how to take a little fish and a little bread and multiply it to feed the masses. Lord, teach us how to lay our hands on sick people and watch you heal them." Never. "Lord, teach us how you do it, how you can speak to a dead man or a dead little girl and call them back to life from the dead." They never asked him to teach them those things. But there was something about his prayer life that made them come to him and say, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Jesus went from one place of prayer to another place of prayer and performed miracles in between. Prayer is so powerful. Sometimes it's a common question. You'll do it with your spouse or your friends. Pastor Steve and I do it every day just in conversation. Somebody's name will come up, come to our thoughts. And I'll say, "Have you talked to so-and-so? When's the last time you talked to so-and-so?" "Well, it's been a while." Same with me. "Have you heard from so-and-so?" "No, not for a while. It's been a while since I've heard from them or spoken to them." The question for each of us this morning is, have you talked to God lately? And more importantly than that, have you heard from God lately? Now, I grew up a Pentecostal boy. One of these days, I'm going to show you how Pentecostal I am. It's liable to hit me one of these days, and I'll show you how to run around the walls until they fall. And I grew up in the fire of the power of Pentecost. Oh, I got an amen over there somewhere. And I've been around the power of God all my life. I think we underestimate the power in prayer. And prayer is not just speaking to God, but it's also hearing from God. Here's the way it's easy for me to be, and maybe you. Sometimes prayer for me is me doing all the talking. "Now, Lord, here I am again," and let me start out with "I'm sorry," just to get that out the way. "And let me thank you." Go ahead and get that one in. The thank you for loving me and being gracious to me and bringing me through everything I've ever been through. You've been right here with me every step and never left me. That's what you promised, and I'm grateful. And now, Lord, I'm here again. And Lord, I got to talk to you about this, and I have a need, and I'm going to give it to you. And I do all the talking if I'm not careful. But prayer is a conversation. It is a communication. Prayer is not a monologue where one person does all the talking. Prayer is a dialogue. I talk to God, and then I hear him when he speaks back to me. After all, what he has to say to me in prayer is a lot more important than what I want to say to him in prayer. And this is how easy it is for all of us to qualify for praying at a high level. Now, I do realize there are some in the body that are primarily gifted in prayer and intercession. I've always known that, always been grateful for that. I could call names, but I won't. There's some in this room right now, many watching. Your primary gift in the body of Christ is intercession and prayer. And sometimes we depend on the intercessors to do all of our spiritual warfare for us because we may be blind to the fact that all of us can pray with power. And here's a scripture for you. James chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Elijah was no different than you are, or I am. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Next verse. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain and the earth produced its fruit. All of this in prayer. And God answering a prayer. And Elijah was no different than we are. He had a nature just like you do. And just like I do. I love what the Amplified Bible says. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, with the same physical, mental, and spiritual limitations and shortcomings. And yet, when he prayed, his prayers got results. And I have learned a few things about prayer that I have to relearn. I have to take a refresher course from time to time. One thing, and I'll pass it on to you, is never pray from a place of frustration. Now, I understand, and I've done it, and I will again. But let's work through that real quick. God, I'm here to vent. Well, he can take it, and he wants that. But don't spend all of your prayer time dumping frustration on the Lord. You may start out that way, but plan to move on pretty quickly and show some respect to the presence of God in the certain place of prayer. And another thing, never allow fear to be your motivation to pray. Here again, guilty. Will be again. But I have to remind myself, oh God, of course I'm coming to you. Here I am immediately. I am in fear of what I've just heard or whatever. But God is not required to respond to our fear. Thank goodness he's so good and he loves us through that and he never leaves us and he'll help us get through it. But God responds to our belief in him, our faith in him. That's what moves God. Many times I've gone to God afraid and I had a right. I know you know what that's like. And God will take it. Give it to him quickly so that you can move out of fear and into faith and believing God for your need to be met. It's always in the place of prayer, faith over fear. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul gives us instructions to put on the whole armor of God. I've taught on this before, so I'm not going to dig too deep this morning, but it does list all of the weapons, all of the pieces of armor, our spiritual armor. And when we have all of our armor on, we're prepared for battle, for spiritual warfare. The Bible teaches spiritual warfare. And it lists all of the pieces of armor. It's the belt of truth. It's the breastplate of righteousness. It's the helmet of salvation. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All dressed up like a military soldier, fully equipped with armor. Rick Renner, my favorite Bible teacher who teaches Greek, says that a believer who has put on the whole armor of God is, as he says it, dressed to kill. There is spiritual warfare in prayer. Jesus said about prayer, men always ought to pray and never give up, never faint, never lose heart. That's a word for somebody who's been praying for something or somebody for so long, you've been tempted to say, it's no use. I'm going to throw in the towel. I'm tired of it. I'm just giving up. Jesus said, don't do that. Men ought always to pray and never give up. Now, Paul gives us something we can chew on and we can add to the way we live our life in prayer. He says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And as I am growing, and as I am maturing, all of us hopefully are, and as I am, not arrived yet, still maturing, got a ways to go. When the Bible says pray without ceasing, there's only one way I can do that. And I threw this out here 2 or 3 weeks ago, didn't elaborate much on it. I'm going to talk about it for a minute or two this morning. Pray without ceasing. The only way I can do that is this. My thought life is my prayer life. My thought life. The Lord revealed this to me. I think it'll work for everybody. But a while back, I realized He knows the thoughts and intents of my heart. And I can communicate with Him. I can talk with Him in my thoughts. And He can speak to me in my thoughts. Now, don't misunderstand. Not every thought I get comes from God. But they're easier to identify than you say. No, hell no. That one's not from God. I'm sorry, darling. But I got off right there. See, I told you. Told you I wasn't all the way perfect yet. But I have a deal with the Lord, an understanding, a covenant that includes Him knowing the thoughts and intents of my heart and my thought life being my prayer life, never ceasing. And then I asked the Lord a few weeks ago when He showed me this. I can be driving in my car or sitting in my office or sitting in my home or and communicate with the Lord through my thoughts and hear Him communicate with me through my thoughts. Somebody said many years ago that prayer was not allowed in school. You remember when that happened. No longer allowed prayer in school. A lot of Christians got up in arms about it and wanting to protest, and all that's good. But I thought, how would they know? Honey, on final exams, I don't care what the rule is over there. There's going to be some praying going on in school because my thought life sometimes is my prayer life, and that way I pray without ceasing. I asked the Lord a few weeks ago when this was being revealed to me personally, I said, Lord, I'm calling then. I'm calling for a meeting of the minds, mine and yours. That's biblical too. We're told to put on the mind of Christ. He's making it available to. So when I want to pray, even in my thought life, and we're to pray without ceasing, I say, Lord, may this be a meeting of the minds, putting our heads together. I want to share with you openly, and I want you to share with me openly. And my thought life can be my prayer life. Now, I want to move quickly and keep my promise to you this morning. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. It begins with, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Now, if we prayed a little more, we would worry a lot less. It says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. We'll talk about that word supplication. As we prepare our hearts, we're taking care of some business before we pray this evening. Supplication is a rich word. We don't use it in today's English language much. But it's a strong word. It means to beseech, to beg. It is a strong and passionate, heartfelt appeal. And it is an official request. And supplication is coming to God on the most serious terms. An official request in the presence of God. And I believe our lives can change because of an hour in prayer tonight, and then for the next couple of months moving forward, I'm challenging each of us. Let's offer God more of ourselves in a posture of prayer, and let's believe Him when we bring our supplication to Him. Supplication means praying with specific requests. That's the problem with prayer many times, is we rush into the place of prayer with little respect to the presence of God. Oh, we know full well He's got what we need, and we know enough to run to Him in our time of trouble and ask Him to meet our needs. But sometimes we're so general, not much faith is required. Example, Lord, bless me today. Now, bless me real good today now. Well, that's a good prayer. He can do that. That's prayer. That's not supplication. It's not an official request. It's not a specific request. So before we enter the place of prayer, we need to come to terms with exactly what we're going to request of God. That's different for all of us. But God can meet every need. For some of you, it may be direction for your life. For some of you, it may be a financial breakthrough. All of us are unique, have different needs from time to time. For some of you, it may be prayer for the healing of your body or the healing of someone you love. When I say, go before the Lord's presence in prayer with a specific request, some people here already know exactly what that request is. You've been carrying it for so long, you don't even have to think about it anymore. You have an official request to make of the Lord. Some of you don't. That's important. It's supplication. And it's specific. Now, I find that my faith is stronger when I'm specific in my request. For instance, like I said before, go to the Lord in the morning. Lord, bless me today now and bless me real good. Well, He will. But I won't really know it when He does. As much as, Father, I have a meeting today at 2 o'clock, and it's critical. I'm asking You for the wisdom to get through that meeting. I'm asking You for a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. I'm asking You to prepare my heart for that meeting. And between 2 and 3 o'clock, I'm believing You to show up in that room, in that appointment. And I'm believing You to speak Your perfect will to those of us in that meeting between 2 and 3 o'clock today. Well, I've been right official. I've been right specific. And when God answers that prayer between 2 and 3 o'clock, I'll know it when He does. I expected it. I was specific in my request. That's how important the certain place of prayer is. Before we pray, we need to prepare ourselves by determining exactly what it is we're going to ask for. And then that verse says, do it with thanksgiving. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. How shocking ingratitude can be. People just don't say thank you anymore. It's the same way in our relationship with God. He will come through for us. He will meet our need, and we'll give him a tip of the hat or a nod of the head when the pressure is gone and we're relieved and our need is met, and forget about it. But this verse says, when you come into the presence of God, into the place of prayer, have your specific request ready and come into his presence with thanksgiving. Then let your request be made known to God. And we should make certain that an equal measure of thanksgiving goes along with our strong supplication and request. We need to make it a goal to be just as passionate in our thanksgiving as we are in making our request known to God. The two go hand in hand. Now, here's the way it is. You can go into prayer anxious, worried, and we're told immediately, cut that one out. Be anxious for nothing. Be prepared for prayer. Bring your request, your supplication, and be thankful to God for everything he's already done. And go ahead right now and thank him for what he's about to do in answer to this request we're making. Thanksgiving is so important in our requesting God to meet a need. And you may go through some warfare in that place of prayer. It's a battle sometimes. It's a battle in the mind. It's a battle in the spirit. Sometimes it is spiritual warfare getting into prayer. But when you leave the place of prayer, the war's over. Let me read two verses together. Nick, put that verse back up there again. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the very next verse says, and the peace of God. Have you ever been to prayer? You went in there hobbling and wobbling and could barely breathe, worn out already from the battle, from the pressure. And you spent some time in prayer, and when you got up from that place of prayer, there was a rush of the peace of God all over you. Instead of carrying a heavy weight, you were as light as a feather, and God's peace was on you at that point. The Bible teaches that. Now, you go into a place of prayer and be prepared to do warfare, but also leave with the peace of God. It's biblical. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. There it is again. My thought life is my prayer life. Oh, no, I have a certain place, too. I can make a certain place of prayer wherever I am. I believe in the posture of prayer. That doesn't mean facing the east or even on your knees. I meant the spiritual posture. I have great respect and I dignify a certain place of prayer. But then here it is again, God will guard my heart and my minds, and his peace is an answer to my prayer. I say it like this: pray until the peace shows up, because it's a promise from God's word. In everything, prayer, supplication, let your request be made known to God. And what's the next word? Then his peace, which you can't even understand. It's far beyond understanding. It'll guard your heart and your mind. Pray until the peace shows up. Now, a place of prayer is a face-to-face place with God. And it's wonderful. This is good news for all of us. You got a burden you just can't drag around anymore, like a weight dragging you down. The place of prayer is an opportunity for you to say to God, I'll give you my problem if you'll give me your peace. And he's capable of doing that. I'll give you my problem if you'll give me your peace. And now we should know this. before we pray. We're praying this evening at 6. But in prayer, you will never reveal anything to God that He doesn't already know. It's not about that at all. Jesus said in Matthew 6:8, your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. So it's not about giving God information. He already knows. But it's about the fellowship He wants. It's about the communication He wants. It's about the intimacy in a relationship that He wants. And He knows there's something that is healing for you to talk to Him about it, even though you're not going to surprise Him. He already knows, even before you ask. And then I want to cover one more base before we take a break for a few hours and come back tonight at 6 for a prayer service. Mark 11:24, that's a favorite for many of us. In fact, it was my favorite back when I was in my late teens. And Jesus said, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. If you believe that you have received it, it will be yours. There was great teaching about this back in the 80s, and it certainly was an impartation to the body of Christ, and we've never lost it. Still easy to work with this. And here's the bottom line. We believe, we receive the same time we ask. If you don't believe, you receive it when you ask, there's little need to ask. And I'm saying not all of us are there, but that's the goal. That's how we're to approach God. That's how much belief and faith and how much of the Word we should be filled with even before we pray. Now, if you have not prepared yourself to ask, then you're not prepared to receive. Ask. Jesus tells us to do that. But you know already, but ask. And there are more than one level, several levels of asking. And it's in prayer. The first level is simply to ask. Jesus said, ask and you'll receive. But if you've been asking for a while and still have not received, there is another level to your asking, and that is, Jesus said, seek and you will find. Now, ask is not a passive word. The word ask in itself is very active. It's very aggressive. It takes energy to ask. But then, even more when it comes to seeking. Seeking requires diligence. And a good scripture there is in Hebrews, I think, chapter 13. It says, he that comes to God, and we're talking about prayer, we're talking about coming into the presence of God in prayer. The Bible says, he that comes to God must believe two things. First of all, that God is. Secondly, that he rewards those who diligently seek. So there's asking, and then it kicks up a notch sometimes in prayer. Now we have to diligently seek God. And God promises, if you seek, you will find. And then there's an even higher level of prayer in asking God, is ask, seek, and then knock. Knock. The translation literally means knock and keep on knocking and keep on knocking and keep on knocking. Now, asking seems simple. It's not as simple as it seems sometimes, but Seeking takes diligence, but knocking and keep on knocking requires unwavering persistence and determination. It's like laying your hands on the altar with a need, a specific request you're making of God, and your attitude toward the Lord, and He can take it. He doesn't think you're being disrespectful, your attitude to the Lord. If you're knocking and keep on knocking, and you're doing it with unwavering persistence and determination, it's like grabbing a hold to the altar and saying, God, I'm not letting this go until you bless me. Ask, seek, and knock. Then I want to mention this too. We're not always prepared to pray. And I'm about to quit, or else I'm going to be told a lie this morning. I'm going to hurry up. Sometimes we're not prepared. We think, oh, I can pray. Head out, pray. We need to prepare ourselves before we get into that place of prayer. And I'll give you an example. A friend of mine who's a pastor in another state, I've known him for many years, a good man, about 20 years ago, his wife went to the doctor, was not feeling well, and the doctor diagnosed her with a terrible disease. And she came home and told her husband, both of them were good friends of mine. And a few weeks passed after that day, and he shared with me. He said, oh yeah, my wife went to the doctor a few weeks ago, and they ran tests, and the results were awful. It was just awful. And he said, here's how we responded. And he was an humble man about it. He said, when my wife told me, it was a crushing blow to both of us. It stunned us. But as soon as the shock wore off, I looked at her and I said, the husband telling the wife, let's don't ask God to heal you just yet. Now, that may sound weird. Most of us, motivated by fear. Oh, God, here it is. Do it now. But he said, we talked about it. And I told my wife, let's don't pray for your healing just yet. He said, before we pray, let's build up our faith by hearing from God, by reading the scriptures concerning the need we have. Let's build up our faith on that issue. And he said, for the next week or so, they didn't ask the Lord for a healing. What they did was spend time in scriptures and hearing the word of God and building their faith. And he said, after a week or so, we felt like it's time to ask now. So they prayed and asked the Lord to heal her. And he did. She was never required to have surgery or any kind of treatment. It was a sovereign healing. If you still believe God can heal that way, say amen. Amen. So before you pray, build up your faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Every time I open this book, God opens His mouth. When you see me in this book, and you rarely do, because I do that privately, but when you see me in this book, I'm hearing the Word. And my faith is getting built up. And while I'm hearing the Word, I'm preparing myself to ask and receive. Stand, if you will.